This podcast brought to you by Amy Oliver Photographer. My mum.
Hey there. Welcome to the Beginner Photography for Mamas podcast, where each week we chat photography, taking photos of your kids, tips, tricks, and how the heck did you make that photo? Mums, professional family photographers, and camera-savvy Insta-mums are a few of the ladies you're going to hear from, as well as topics relating to motherhood, lack of sleep, poo, playdates, and the mummy juggle. I'm your host, Amy Oliver. I'm a mama of two cheeky girls, and I've been a family photographer for the last 10 years. And the one thing I'm obsessed with is that feeling you get when you take a photo of your kid that leaves you just that little bit breathless. I'm on a mission to help you take better photos of your kids without all the confusing technical jargon. Grab a cuppa, put your earbuds in, and get comfy, mama. This is beginner photography and so much more just for you. Hello and welcome to the very first guest episode of the Mummatography podcast. I am so stoked that you have found this little podcast in its infancy, and I can't wait to serve you guys with awesome, simple, light-hearted photography conversations to help you on your photo-taking journey. I'm so glad you're here. This is so exciting. Today on the show, we have my beautiful friend and very talented photographer, Beck Matheson. Now, Beck is an absolute gem, and I never get sick of seeing the images she takes of her own kids. Her images are honest, they have a rawness and a realness that I think kind of show the heart of what childhood is like in all its mess and its beauty. Her kids are hilarious and creative, and she always has something witty or funny to share. She's an absolute scream. Beck has photographed the birth of one of my babies, my family, and we have kind of been on this photography journey together for like over 8 years now. She's the best. So I can't wait to introduce you. Let's get on with it. All right. I would just like to welcome the first guest on the Mummatography podcast. We have my good friend, Beck Matheson, joining us. Beck, hello.
Hi, Amy.
This is a monumental moment. This is the number one episode of the Mummatography podcast, and you are our first guest. So thank you for being here.
I can't quite believe it.
Yeah. Beck, tell us about yourself. For people who don't know who you are, give us a little bit about what you do, who your little people are, and how long you've been in business and all the stuff.
I'm Beck. I'm married to a teacher. And we have three girls, so eight. And this week, my second one is six, and my last baby is one. And I was a graphic designer back in the day, but I've been a photographer for now for about maybe almost 9 years. And I started in weddings, and I moved on to, I'm now in the family birth photography, newborn space.
And Beck, would you say do you still shoot weddings, or are you mainly just shooting families? Where are you at these days?
I do shoot some weddings, only because I can't quite let them go. I quite enjoy them, but not all the time because they're quite a lot of stress.
It is, especially when you have babies that don't sleep, hey?
Oh, yeah.
And tell us, what are your girls' names?
Yeah, so Claire is eight and Celeste is six in 2 days, and then Maggie is nearly one.
Beck and I actually have a funny story about how we met, don't we, Beck?
Yeah, we do.
Quite random. Yeah. So we'll tell you a little bit now, but back in the day, this was probably nearly 8 years ago, wasn't it?
Somehow
we were friends on Facebook. We had never met in real life. So we were friends on Facebook, but we ended up pregnant at the same time. So our daughters are very similar age. And where were we, Beck? We were in the hospital. Was that right?
Yeah, in the hospital waiting room. And I clearly remember, I think Nathan had a baseball cap on.
Oh my goodness.
And you guys looked very, I don't know, different than the rest of the hospital. I don't know, people waiting around. And I'm like, I think I know who that is.
So weird.
You look too cool, Amy.
Oh, no way. Well, it was funny because I looked up from my seat and I was actually scrolling Facebook, and I saw Rebecca Matheson take a photo of the book she was reading in the waiting room while she was waiting to see her midwife.
And you know what, Amy? It was entirely strategic. Really? I'm like, I know who that is, and I'm going to leave a trail.
And it totally worked, and it was totally weird and awesome at the same time.
And we still didn't actually say hello to each other.
I know. I was sitting across from Beck, and I look at my phone, and I look on Facebook, and I can see the book she's reading. And then I look up, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, that's her. This is the most weird situation ever. But then I was just too shy to say anything, and you didn't say anything either. And so we kind of left. And then basically I got home and I felt so weird and like bad that I didn't say hello, that I sent you a little PM on Facebook and said, I'm so sorry, we should like meet and hello, and I'm Amy.
And that's where it all started.
And
Amy.
That's where it all started, a beautiful friendship, which has been, it's been really cool. Journeying with you, Beck, over the last, it's been like 9 years, hasn't it?
In
photography. So I'm stoked to hear, for the listeners to hear your story, because as you said, you didn't, you have started in a design background, as well. And then you kind of moved into photography. It's been cool to kind of see you from the start of your journey to now. And that's why I really wanted to interview you, because just to be able to see your growth and progression from, you know, getting, I don't know if I was there when you got your first camera, but I've definitely seen your skill level just improve. And sometimes when I see your photos on Instagram, Beck, I'm just a bit like, oh, I wish I took that photo. And it's a little bit intimidating. I'm getting a bit of a, oh. So
I feel the same way, Amy. So
I think the way that you document your girls is absolutely beautiful. And I think that I was thinking about this before the interview. I was like, if I had to describe Beck's work in 3 words, I'd probably say honest childhood portraits. And I think when I see your work, that's what I think. And just the beautiful, the beautiful way you photograph your girls. And that's really authentic and non-showy. And I just, I absolutely love it. It just feels real. Like this is real motherhood and these are my real kids and I'm not trying to be anything but who I am. Yeah. Anyway, so that's what I love about your work, Beck. But I would love to hear how you got started in photography and what inspired you. Like how did you get started?
Yeah. So I guess my background is graphic design. And I was always doing a little bit of photography through that. And I think I've had a bit of an interest in it, I guess, even when I was quite young. And then I'm not sure when I got my first camera, but I guess it really started when, so the design company I was working for suddenly got some very unusual funding to send someone to Vietnam of all places to take photos for a project we were doing for a charity. And I was the person who could take the best photos. So here I was, the junior graphic designer, finding myself 2 weeks later in central Vietnam, taking photos of these families and I guess their water sanitation projects. And I guess at that point I was like, this is what really I find satisfying and fulfilling. And I really like that, I guess, that almost instant result that you can get with photography, which design is a lot more back and forth and a lot more a struggle in a different way. And then I guess not too long after that, I had my first baby. And then I guess that is often a driver for a lot of mums in a sometimes good, sometimes not good way. But I guess I started taking photos of Claire, and I guess I was just quite dissatisfied with some of the results I was getting at the start. And so that just pushed me to, I'm like, I need to get better at this because I want to be able to record it in a way that I'm happy with. So I'm a little bit of a perfectionist sometimes. I just like to be able to take a better photo every time I take a photo.
And you take a lot of photos of your kids, don't you, Beck?
I do take a lot of photos. My kids are very used to being in front of the camera, which is good, but it has taken some, I guess, sort of training perhaps on their part. But at the same time, I guess it's important to respect your kids. If they don't want photos, don't take them, or take them, you know, let's just do this for 5 minutes and then stop.
Yeah, totally. When you said it's taken some kind of training, what do you mean? Can you expand on that?
I think just having the camera out a lot, it's just a normal part of their lives now. So they will even ask me to, where's your camera, Mum? We'll take it on the walk that we're going on because we want to do a photo on this wall. And I'm like, okay, that's not from me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think just normalizing it and having it out and about, and it's not something weird. And also, I guess, inviting them to join in the creating process too, which is what you can do when they're a little bit older.
Kind of ask them like what kind of ideas or
Where
you want to stand or, you know, that kind of thing.
That's and, you awesome. Know, do you want a photo on your roller skates? Yes. Yep. Yeah. They love doing. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. When you first got started, kind of what gear were you using? Like, was gear an issue for you? Like, or how did you work out what gear and what lenses and all that you should be shooting with?
I guess early on, so I had some other random, I don't know, it was a Coolpix something or other before cameras, that was in. Yep. But then I don't even remember exactly when I got it, but it was a crop sensor, so it wasn't a full frame camera. So it was a Nikon D90 that I actually shot on for a very long time. And I had pretty limited gear. So I think I had like a 50 millimeter lens, just the little kit lens to start with. And then I saved up and bought myself a zoom, like a 24-70, which I shot on for a very long time. And then I guess once I started getting into weddings, I realized I had to pick up my game and spend a bit more money. But yeah, I guess now I have just swapped over from, I guess, my very well-loved Nikons to Sony mirrorless.
Big jump.
Sony Alpha, which is a big jump, but I'm loving it. And it's much more, I guess, handy in the everyday. Like, it's much smaller. It's easy to just tuck in your bag. And I usually shoot mostly with a 35 millimeter lens. I've got an 85 as well, but that's, I guess, the 35 is the one that is my walk around. It's a little bit like what your eye can see. And because I love documentary stuff, it just suits what I do.
And similar, like I think lots of our photography friends, we love 35 lenses, don't we, Beck?
Sure do.
Yeah, they just make everything look pretty. So, Beck, when you were first starting out in photography, what would you have said were the biggest challenges that you faced?
So I think probably the biggest was the frustration with not being able to get the images I wanted. Mm-hmm. And then I guess there were some other...
What were the images that you wanted? What were they?
Oh, I just think like a good photo. like I would take them and go, oh, I have no idea why that isn't working, or that is not, like, how do people even get those nice looking photos that are in focus? And despite having done, I did probably at least two, maybe three even subjects on photography at uni through my design degree and another degree that I'd started in multimedia. I could not get my head around even basics like the exposure triangle. It was ridiculous. Like, I should have been able to, and it feels so easy now. But, yeah, it took me a really long time to get my head around the technical stuff, which I found quite weird because I'm quite a technically minded person.
How did you go with editing, Beck? Like, what was that a challenge at all, or was that, like, did that come quite naturally having the design background?
I think that bit came really naturally to me, and I think maybe early on I probably watched a few things online, but then I just did it by feel. And I'm like, yeah, these are the bits of the image that I want people to pay attention to. And I realized I didn't want to do any heavy editing. Like, I like dealing with color, but I also really like, I guess, edits that are really true and long lasting. And so I guess colors and black and whites, I want them to reflect that because I want my work to be really truthful. I feel like the editing's a really big part of that too.
One of the things, Beck, I wanted to chat to you about was something called the 52 Project. She laughs because a couple of years ago, I think actually probably nearly, do you think it was 4 years ago? I actually got quite inspired because I had heard of this 52 Project online, and I thought, right, I'm going to do this. And so I started a Facebook group. I invited friends in to do this 52 project with me inside of a Facebook group. And I didn't finish it, but Beck has excelled and just done a beautiful job at documenting her kids. So I'll explain what the project is. It's basically taking one portrait of your child every week for the whole year. So you end up with 52 beautiful photos of your kids. And so Beck has done this, and she has put together beautiful slideshows from the last few years of her portraits. But Beck, I just wanted to hear from you about the project from your point of view, and tell me about it.
Yeah. So I think I originally saw it as a 365, which is one photo a day, which is beyond comprehension. Although I've actually have something to say about that now that we're in lockdown, because I'm taking more photos, if you can believe it. But I think I'd heard of it, and I maybe had a few false starts possibly before your group. And I'm like, suddenly like, okay, I've got to do it. I want to do this. Again, it's a way for me to be intentional about picking up my camera, so I'm not just documenting my kids at events. And then I guess I just pushed myself to do it. And there were weeks where I was like, oh, it's Friday night and it's like 8 o'clock and my kid is asleep already. And I possibly even went in, turned the light on and took a photo of them asleep. But yeah, I think just pushing myself and then making it a habit was really, I think it's probably been one of the best things for my photography, because it's pushed me, because every week you're like, oh, I can't take the same image every week. Mm-hmm. And I guess it helps paying attention to what's going on, and also, yeah, I guess being free to look at your child's life and not just as close-ups of their face, which I think is probably my first 52 was much more portrait focused. Mm-hmm. And it slowly evolved to be a little bit more documentary or a bit of a hybrid.
I think I would say that too, Beck, looking at like the last 4 years and just seeing how your work has evolved and grown, and you've kind of really found your style and your, I don't know, would you say that? And you've kind of, I feel like the work I'm seeing now of yours is the most kind of comfortable that I've seen of you in your, like, just like settle, like, oh, this is Beck.
Yeah. I think like possibly even in doing the project, I'm quite a confident person, and, but it's still, I guess it still plays on your mind when you see people do lots of beautiful lifestyle work all the time. And documentary is a little bit less, just less seen probably in the Australian sphere, maybe. I think, I guess just working out that I'm totally okay with doing things that way, because that's what I love doing. But yeah, just by taking so many, it's just, it feels the right way for me to photograph, and how I like looking at. I guess it helps me to pay attention, because I'm usually have got my head thinking about a million other things, and I'm not very good at, I guess, getting down with my kids. I'd rather be off in my own brain. But yeah, taking photos with them helps me to, I guess it helps me to connect with them too.
That's awesome. I love hearing that. Yeah, just being able to do that alongside them and involve them in it. And then, but also like to show them afterwards, like, he's just such a gift. Not only, it not only like makes you feel awesome and give you the dopamine hit of, yes, I took this awesome photo, but like,
they love it too.
Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah. But speaking of like the thousands and thousands and thousands of photos you take, and someone who is a little bit more admin minded than myself, tell me about your file storage. Do you have a good system for storing your photos and how you organize them, or is it just kind of just keep filling up hard drive after hard drive?
Yes, I do.
Tell us. Yeah.
I think actually the 52 project has helped with this too, because I was suddenly like, oh, I have to have this all locked down, or else I'm never going to be able to find these and choose one each week. Yeah. So at the moment, I structure it by putting them in, I guess it's a folder on my computer, in a year.
Yeah,
so I have 2020.
Yeah.
And then because of how I do my 52 project, I actually split it into weeks rather than in month folders, but month folders would probably be fine.
Yep.
And then I literally dump everything in there, unless there's a really particular event like a birthday, and I might put a subfolder in there.
Okay. Are you labeling it like week one, week two, week three?
Yeah, I literally just label it week one and that's it. Yep. I leave it. I don't put any other description. If I have something a little bit more detailed, it will be in like a subfolder. And then I guess the main trick with you, if you have a high volume of photos, and this comes again with just having good habits, is that as soon as I get my photos off my card, as soon as I'm able to, I will get rid of all the ones I don't want, like almost straight away. And that helps with the volume. So I'm feeling very accomplished actually this week, because we're currently in Melbourne's lockdown. So there's sort of time and not time at the moment. And I've just dealt with like my backlog of about 8 years worth of all my very non-categorized photos. So wow. I'm very happy
now. That's huge. I'm applauding you. That is like massive. And one thing that I heard years and years ago someone say is that the more raw images you have on your hard drives, which seems pretty obvious, but it's costing you money as well. So if you actually don't go through and cull your images and part with a few of the photos, you're going to end up spending so much money in hard drive storage or cloud storage or wherever you store your photos, because raw files actually take up a lot of room. It's not like a little JPEG file that you wouldn't even notice. These are massive, massive files, aren't they? And the newer cameras that you get are even bigger.
Yeah, and I guess the other thing is just being mindful of the fact that photos are digital files and they're easy to lose. And so I guess each year I have two little hard drives that I'd plug in, and they're exact duplicates of each other.
Great.
And they all go on straight onto there.
Yeah, and you've got another backup. Yeah,
and I've just recently started using a cloud based for JPEGs for final images. So I use something called Backblaze for that. B2 cloud storage, and it's the most cost effective one out there that I found.
We will link that in the show notes so people can check that out too. Yeah, that'd be good. Now what we're going to do is jump into a new segment that we'll be doing most weeks on the podcast, and it's called How She Made It, which is basically where my guest chooses an image that she's created and we talk about how she did it on the podcast. So what she was thinking, how she was feeling, what inspired her, how she edited the image, were her kids even complying, and whatever else she wants to talk about. Now this might seem a little bit crazy to you given that this is an audio medium and not a visual one, but I assure you it can still work. What I'd encourage you to do is pause this episode right now. And if you are listening on your iPhone, jump into the podcast app and click on this particular episode's notes, and the link will be there. Alternatively, go to the Mamatography website, which is www.mamatography.co/1, and this will bring you to Beck's Mamatography page with all the links from today's episode, including the photo that we're going to be talking about right up the top of the page. So if you haven't done it, go there now, have a look at the photo so you can get an idea of what we're talking about. And I really hope that this segment will inspire you in your own photo taking journey and also help you understand the thinking process behind how an image is made. Let's do this. So Beck, you have chosen an awesome image. You actually sent through a couple, and I would have happily chatted about either of them, but for the sake of just choosing one image to chat about of yours, tell us about this photo. Paint the picture for those who haven't clicked over yet.
Sure. Okay. So it's of my three girls in the bath. It's quite a documentary style of image, but it actually has, I guess, I'll tell that in a minute, has a component of non-documentary in this. And so I was at my parents' place. I'm looking down the long end of, sorry, I'm at the short end of the bath looking into the long end. And my oldest daughter is helping my baby wash her hair. My baby has a cup in her mouth.
Yeah.
And then the only part of my middle daughter that you can see are her two legs sticking straight up, and then there are beautiful, I guess, leading lines in from the tiles and from the bath, bath edges. It's black and white, and originally I was doing all my 52 project in black and white just for a sense of cohesion. And also, yeah, I guess it just can help you to see an image, the shapes in an image, really well sometimes. So yeah, I guess the knew that my parents' bathroom has much better light than my bath, so I prefer to take bath images at their house. And then I could see I could sort of see this happening, unfolding in front of me a little bit, and I was just hoping that my middle daughter would stick her feet up. So I did actually prompt her to poke her feet up because she was doing it naturally, but I hadn't been quick enough to get it. So I don't think it's a problem to interfere a little bit when you're trying to get an image. I'm not actually that fantastic about pre-visualizing images, but I often see them sometimes right before they're happening. And that's really, I guess, the most satisfying photo to take is one that you're like, oh yeah, that's what I want. And if you can get it, it's awesome.
It's a beautiful image. And yeah, I often find that in bathrooms, I know you said that at your house you don't have great light for bathrooms, but I would probably say a general rule that is that light in bathrooms is actually really pretty.
I agree.
And because a lot of the time you have like white or light tiles floating around, and a lot of light bouncing around in a bathroom, you should definitely take your camera out and experiment in the bathroom because, yeah, I've done this too, Beck. I was at my in-law's house and I often take photos in their bathroom because it is just beautiful. And I also love Beck. I just love, I think it's Celeste's legs just have this beautiful catch light going down the middle of her legs. And it just, I think, I don't know, my eyes go there straight away and I just love the way that,
I think beautiful. The other reason I love it so much is that it shows their personalities quite a lot in that Claire is she's quite a caring older sister and Celeste is very much a free agent and just a little bit wild.
Just
her legs there, it shows her without showing her. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. It's beautiful. And also, like, it can be really hard taking bath photos that you can share online.
Yes.
And I think you've done this beautifully because it's modest and I think as well, they wouldn't feel uncomfortable seeing this in like 20 years, I don't think.
No, yes. And I am a little bit mindful of that.
So, Beck, could you give us a few tips when it comes to photographing your own kids? I know we touched on it earlier, but if you had to give mums who are just kind of at the start of their journey in trying to document their kids more or just learn their camera or learn photography more but want to take photos of their kids, what would be some tips that you would give them?
I think probably the first one is just to take a lot of photos. Like, you don't realise that you're getting better, but you do. And you don't even necessarily, I guess, realize why, but you do start paying attention to what is working and what's not working. Mm-hmm. And I guess the most important thing to learn is not to do anything too tricky. It's just to find some nice light and to pay attention to it and turn your kids' faces towards the light if you can. And that's probably a good place to start, I guess, trying to get some of the basics down before you start trying to shoot in really dark places or making it complicated for yourself. So if you have to take all your photos outside to start with, you should do that, I think. And also that I don't be afraid of dark images either. Like, there's a lot to love in them.
Exactly.
And I think maybe just allowing your kids to be themselves in front of you, which having a camera out a lot can help them be used to it. I guess not feeling like they always have to look at you and they always have to smile. I don't want photos of my kids always smiling. Probably my favorite ones are of them not smiling, of them being themselves. Yeah, and if they don't feel pressure from you, they won't care if you have your camera out.
I actually remember, I've taken lots of photos of my kids and then had lulls where I haven't picked up my camera for months. But in one of my highs when I was taking a lot of photos, I remember my daughter Anna, when she was a lot smaller, saying, "No, mummy, no more photos, no more photos." And I was like, "Oh no, please no." I think maybe a tip from me is just not making them feel like they need to perform or like do anything for you. And the more that you are asking them to smile and look at the camera, I mean, you start training them in that way as well. And you don't, it's often as well when I go to photograph families, you have kids that have been trained to smile and look at the camera. And while that's fine, like there's nothing wrong with that, particularly if you're trying to get iPhone snaps and, you know, more traditional family portraits. But Yeah, you don't want your kids to like always be feeling that they need to perform in front of the camera, because you're not going to get the natural, relaxed photos that really, I feel like that's what every mum wants. They just want natural photos of their kids.
I think it's kind of okay to make it a fun thing as well. So you can use it as an excuse. Like, my kids love baking and I really do not care about baking at all. I'm like, we'll do baking if you let me take a few photos. And they'll often agree. Like, it's just, it's blatant bribery. But, you know, I have fun, they have fun. And it's, yeah, it's a chance for something a little bit different, but something still really normal. So they can get excited about it too.
Now, because this episode is one of firsts, I want to explain another exciting thing or resource that Mummatography will be delivering on a regular basis to you, our listeners. And that is free photo recipes. Now, what is a photo recipe, I hear you ask? Well, it's basically a set of instructions, much like how a cooking recipe reads, that takes you through a series of simple steps to set up a beautiful or creative or fun scene at your home with your kids so that you can practice your photography skills while your kids are engaged and entertained. So these recipes are designed to inspire creativity in you and spare the tears from everyone, including you. So Becca's been super generous with us and come up with a photo recipe for you guys for free. So all you have to do is go to www.mummatography.com/blog/1, and you can get it for free there. But basically, this recipe is about bare feet crossing the road and taking some photos of your kids on the footpath. But might be best if Beck explains it. So Beck, can you just tell us a little bit more about what your photo recipe involves?
Yeah, so this is something that I did with my own kids recently, mostly because I saw some really beautiful afternoon light that was like on the footpath opposite, I guess, across the road. And to get my kids out there, I made them, I guess, I phrased it like, here's an adventure that we can go on. You can take your shoes off and we can walk across the road barefoot. And then I just let them play. And I let the baby crawl around and document it. And I often shoot out there, I guess, on our side of the road, but just to make it a tiny bit more special, we just cross the road. So I guess my recipe is about being barefoot on the footpath, just something really simple, and also something, I guess, that's a bit relevant to being in lockdown where you can't go very far. It doesn't take a whole lot of effort of pulling everything together. It's just about documenting and seeing what happens and practicing and trying a few things out using the sun.
I really hope that these recipes are a gift to you guys and that they help take some of the stress away from involving your kids in your photo taking journey. Every shoot I go on, no joke, I think one parent always turns to me and says, "What do they say? Don't work with children and animals." And they are exactly right. It is hard work. And you know what? It's even harder when it's your own kids. So I really hope that these help you out. Look out for them with each new podcast episode. And Beck, can you just tell us if listeners would like to look at your work, start to follow you, maybe even book a photo session with you, where can they find you?
You can find me probably most active on Instagram. So I am Instagram.com and then Beck Matheson Photography. So BECMATHESON. I'm sure Amy will link to it anyway.
Yes, I will.
I'm more than happy if you want to reach out and send me a message. I am very up with knowledge being open, and I guess photographers helping each other and helping mums. So yeah, ask me anything.
Thank you so much for sharing, Beck. I think just to get a glimpse of someone else's journey and how they do things can be so helpful just to move us along in our own journey too. So I really appreciate you sharing. And I think what we've chatted about today, like, it might be super simple to some people, but really profound to others, just depending on where you're at. But either way, hopefully you have picked up something that was helpful and you can apply to your own photo walk. But again, thank you for sharing, Beck. I really appreciate you being on the first episode of Mummatography.
Thanks for having me, Amy. It's been fantastic.
Love it. Guys, if you have a second and you liked this podcast episode, can I ask you a massive favor? Could you jump on over to iTunes and leave us a review? Reviews help so much get your podcast out in the podcast world, especially in the early days. And so I would love it if you could take a second and do that for me. But yeah, I can't wait to journey with you guys. Speak soon.